Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the Fort Findlay Playground at Emory Adams Park has been well-loved by the community for more than 20 years, but it's beginning to show its age, and now a proposed revamp that reimagines the space for a new generation is generating strong reaction, which is just what the city was hoping for. Also happening around town, what show do you want to see? Single event ticket sales for the upcoming season at Tiffin's Historic Ritz Theater are available beginning today. We'll have details. And the Hancock County OSU Extension is busy preparing for the fair and for the Winning at Wellness campaign this fall. Jennifer Little will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, August 12th, 2024. The Olympics are in the books now. Did you watch any of the closing ceremonies yesterday? Last night, the closing ceremony celebrating all of the athletes. It's always so cool to see all of the athletes in the stadium together partying, having a good time. Win or lose, everybody recognizing that they have just shared an incredible experience, those Olympic athletes. U.S. is coming home after one of the most successful summer games in U.S. history. Team USA with 126 medals overall. That is our highest total since we captured 174 medals in Los Angeles back in 1984, so 40 years ago. Now, of course, keep in mind, in 1984, there were a lot of countries that boycotted those games, most notably the Soviet Union and East Germany, which at the time were, you know, pretty solid players on the Olympic stage. So there was, you know, some significant competition missing from those games. But that's pretty impressive. 126 medals overall in the gold medal count. The U.S. ties China for the most with 40. A couple of other interesting notes regarding the Olympic medal count. Women, American women and women's teams combined to capture more than half of all of our gold medals. We got 26 of the 40 gold were claimed by women and women's team. That is the most ever in a single Olympics for the U.S. And the most dominant events or disciplines within the Olympics for the Americans, track and field and swimming. We won 34 athletics medals. That's what they call track and field in the Olympics, athletics. 34 athletics medals and 28 in the pool. And it is the eighth straight summer games where the U.S. has led the medal count. We generally don't lead the medal count in the Winter Olympics, but the Summer Olympics, yeah, eighth straight time the U.S. has led the medal count. So pretty cool. USA, USA. All attention now turns to Los Angeles for the next Summer Games. First time the Games come into L.A. since 1984. Already in L.A., people are complaining about the traffic. What the traffic is going to be like when the Summer Games come in 4 years. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass is promising that the 2028 Summer Olympics will be the no-car games. And she says many of the venues will only be accessible by public transportation. The city is planning to expand their transit system by the time the 2028 games roll around. She says the city will also be borrowing up to 3,000 buses from other cities around the country to help carry the huge influx of visitors. And she says LA will be encouraging businesses to have their employees work from home, work remotely during the 17 days of the 2028 games to reduce traffic as much as possible from everyday commuters. Some of the larger venues like SoFi Stadium, which is tentatively scheduled to host the opening ceremony and other events, those are still expected to allow some on-site parking, but they say there's going to be the no-car games, all right? We shall see. By the way, speaking of the Olympics, I thought this was kind of interesting. What events kept your interest the most during the Paris Games? Assuming that you watched or at least paid attention to some of the events, According to the betting experts at Responsible Gambling, the platform Responsible Gambling, basketball was the most Googled search related to the games. The most Googled event, basketball. 38,100 monthly Google searches during the, or not monthly Google searches during the Olympics. 38,000 average, I guess that should say daily Google searches during the Olympics for basketball. Let's see here. Of course, the Team USA had kind of another dream team with LeBron James and Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, et cetera, et cetera. The female women's basketball team, Diana Taurasi, Brianna Stewart. So some pretty big stars there. Coming in second, another interesting pick, breakdancing was the second most Googled event during the Olympics. Breakdancing with 20,537 searches. Americans apparently eager to see the Olympics debut of breakdancing. And I don't believe that that's going to be, that was a one-off. I don't think breakdancing is going to be back in 4 years in L.A., I think I heard him say. Third place was golf, and fourth place went to wrestling. So those were the top four event searches by Americans during the Olympics. Soccer rounded out the top five, so kind of interesting. And obviously we know if you do an analysis of all of the Google search terms, if it's soccer, it's got to be the United States. So we're the only ones that call it that. So, of course, that's what we were Googling. Speaking of sports, did you hear this announcement? I caught this over the weekend. Major League Baseball is racing to Tennessee next season. The league announced that there will be a game at Bristol Motor Speedway in Bristol, Tennessee, the NASCAR track. They're gonna lay out a baseball field in the infield of the track, and the Atlanta Braves and Cincinnati Reds will face each other in the very first Major League Baseball Speedway Classic. Well, all right then. This will be August 2nd, 2025. So August of next year, Bristol Motor Speedway, one of the largest sports venues in the country with a capacity of about 146,000 for races. Not going to have that many people there for the baseball game. And obviously some of the seats, some of the sight lines are going to be less than ideal, but you know it'll be a big crowd. The league says ticket pre-sales will start next month. Let's say pre-sales will start next month, and tickets will be expanded beginning in ticket availability will be expanded beginning in December. So there you go. That's it. Now, I think what would really be interesting is if you played a baseball game in the infield of the track while there was a race going on. That's what you really... Let's put the cars on the track and a baseball game in the middle. Now, that I would be interested in. That I would be interested in seeing. That would be interesting. Once again, this day's news of most lasting significance may be this. As Paul Harvey used to say, the FDA is approving the first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. Let me say that again and listen very carefully. The first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. It is a single-use nasal spray to treat allergic reactions in emergency situations. They call it Neffy, and it is manufactured by ARS Pharmaceuticals, and they say it can be used in adults and some children. The FDA says this may alleviate the fear of injections, making Neffy an important treatment option. So a needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. That is significant. Very, very significant, especially for younger children in those school situations where injections, you know, might make people nervous. This would be a viable alternative in some cases. So very, very cool. And finally, lastly, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Hope you got plenty of sleep last night because you might want to pull an all-nighter tonight. Stargazers will want to stay up late for what is being called one of the best meteor showers this year. 2024 has been an incredible celestial year. We had the eclipse back in April. We had the Northern Lights. What was that, in May? Late April or May? That we got the Northern Lights across almost the entire continental U.S. And now the annual Perseid meteor shower is expected to peak late tonight into the wee hours of tomorrow morning. So overnight tonight into Tuesday. The meteor shower is expected to contain up to 100 meteors traveling at more than 133,000 miles an hour. And NASA officials say the best time to view the meteor shower will be around 2 a.m. So stay up late tonight. Get a nap this afternoon. Stay up late to check that out. So I guess that's one nice thing about the eclipse. It happened in the middle of the day. You know, we didn't have to stay up late. Now, this will be even later than the Northern Lights a few months ago. But from what they say, worth the effort to stay up late to check it out. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny skies expected today with a high around 80. Becoming cloudy tonight, a low around 60. The Ohio Division of Wildlife and Findlay Police are still looking for the person responsible for shooting animals at Riverside Park with darts.
The Ohio Division of Wildlife says no more reports have been made of animal abuse, but no arrests have been made either. Now, Adam Snyder of Oak Harbor is offering a $1,000 reward in hopes of helping catch the person. If you have any information that could lead to catching the person or people responsible, you should call the Wildlife Division.
WTOL 11's Tim Miller reporting. State officials say police have kept large amounts of illegal, dangerous drugs off the streets with recent traffic stops.
The Ohio Attorney General's office is touting recent drug and cash seizures on I-70. It says law enforcement stopped a commercial vehicle Saturday on I-70 in Madison County. Inside, they say they discovered 300 pounds of meth, 17 pounds of cocaine, and 30 pounds of marijuana. Just a few days later, law enforcement seized nearly $1 million during a drug trafficking stop in Clark County.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. The Findlay High School football team has been busy preparing for the upcoming season. Head coach Stephan Adams was on with WFIN's Chris Oakes to give a preview of what fans can expect on the gridiron from the Trojans this season.
You know, we have guys right now stepping up and really trying to earn their roles and earn their spots. But we know that, you know, you don't just go out and replace that type of production. But what you hope you can do is you hope you can develop players to step in and do the best that they can do.
Get more of Chris's interview with Coach Adams in this story on our website. In July, the governor signed a bill requiring that all Ohio school buildings have an automated external defibrillator, AED, on hand. Findlay City School says it's proud to say that they're ahead of the game with AEDs in their buildings already, and that all of the AEDs in the district have been updated recently to be ready for the upcoming school year. According to the school district calendar, the first day of the school year for Findlay City Schools will be Thursday. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So our cover story this morning, the Fort Findlay Playground at Emory Adams Park. If you were at the Balloon Fest this weekend, maybe your kids spent some time. It has certainly been well-loved by the community for more than 20 years, but it is beginning to show its age, and now a proposed revamp of that space reimagines the playground for a new generation, and that is generating some very strong reaction, and the city says, fine, that's exactly what they're kind of hoping for. Mayor Christina Mern is with us in the studio this morning. Mayor Mern, thanks very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Like I said, I'm sure that a lot of folks, maybe especially given that this has been in the news, probably spent some time looking this weekend at, you know, while they were at Emory Adams for a balloon fest at just, you know, the situation, because it is kind of showing its age.
Yeah.
And that's the concern.
Yes, definitely. You know, it is such a well-loved amenity in our community. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we have continued to try to maintain it. Unfortunately, you know, wood, especially out in the elements year-round.
Even treated wood.
Yeah, it's really starting to become, have some safety issues. And so we really have decided, how do we keep the ties to the fort theme, mm-hmm. and update the park to make it a safe and enjoyable amenity for generations to come.
So why the decision to basically take it down and replace it as opposed to repair what's already there? Because we know how successful it is and how many people use it.
Yeah. So as we look at it, obviously, the ongoing maintenance is really a struggle. And as you piecemeal it together, it's really not sustainable. The other is there are some concerns with some of the lack of visibility in different parts of the park and vandalism that has occurred, some bullying. And so making sure that there's also clear sight lines is certainly a priority. But, you know, as we maintain it, things that are 25 years old and get daily wear and tear, something like this, you know, making sure that it is a safe amenity really is our key priority.
So a proposal for what the new Fort Finley playground or play area would look like, have been published. You've got those on the City of Finley website. I am curious, folks may remember when the playground was originally constructed, one of the things they did was go around to schools and, mm-hmm. and get groups of kids and get their input as to what they wanted the playground to be. Why not do that again?
So we did.
Okay.
We have already done that. We've engaged in some schools. We plan to go back to the schools. They're not in session right now. So
right.
Unfortunately, timing just didn't quite work out. So one of the things we have done is kind of put out some of the concepts, harnessing that Fort Finley feel, but also we have to put a little bit of boundaries around it. You know, when we go in to talk to kids, if you give them, you know, no restrictions, they're asking for roller coasters and then they're disappointed.
Very true.
So we have to give a little bit of, you know, which features do you like the most? What mm-hmm. playgrounds have you played on that you really like from a parent standpoint? What are the amenities that you want to see? But also then looking at how do we accommodate it for all abilities? How do we have a section of the park, you know, not in the Fort Finley Park, but as we look at Emory Adams and our long-term master plan, how do we build that out to have also some all-age amenities built into it? So looking at maybe adding basketball courts or pickleball courts, some of those different things that make sure that it's really a destination for the South End and the community as a whole.
So one of the things that it seems in some of the feedback that I've seen on social media about this, because, you know, obviously it's generated a lot of conversation as things of this nature often
everything
do.
Does these days.
One of the things that there seems to be a bit of a point of confusion, it's not that there won't be a play fort. You know, there are still components of that that are incorporated into this new design.
Definitely. So I think, you know, it's not going to be a wooden fortress castle as we kind of have now. And mm-hmm. I remember it being built. I played there. I know my family's played there. I've taken kids that I babysat there. We all have fond memories of it. And so we still want to incorporate that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not going to probably be quite as robust. The amenities and expectations are a bit different. So we will still incorporate that. And certainly the renderings give a concept. That's not the final. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're engaging and we want to know what are the key amenities so that we can help make those areas potentially more robust. But there is going to definitely be a fort-style jungle gym.
Yeah, and to be honest, the aerial renderings make it look very minimal. Like, there's not really a whole lot there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But I did think it was interesting that, again, when you look at the aerial, like that front gate almost looks like that's all it is a gate. But there are actually, again, elements of that fort in there that kids can climb on and in and
correct.
So on.
Yeah,
so
one of the things is kind of towers with a connecting bridge that we mm-hmm. want to incorporate. We want to pay homage to the current, playground, as well as incorporate, one of the things we've had people ask about is the brick walkway where people had donated. So we're definitely going to figure out ways to keep those and work them into the new design.
And then within the confines of the fort, there are much more open spaces for physical activity and that kind of thing. Clearly, again, you can see from the designs.
Correct. Yeah. So we don't have all the specifics worked out. Again, that's kind of why we're coming to the community. But mm-hmm. we definitely do want it to have both a concentrated jungle gym amenity, but again, keeping swings, having different kind of areas that kids can play and be spread out, have different ages, have different abilities. And we're looking at the footprint and how do we expand that, modify it. So parents have good sight lines. They can be with kids in different areas of the park and still see what's going on with their other children. And then also, again, as we look at that master plan, how do we expand it? How do we maneuver it? And how do we make it more safe and accessible for large events like we have with the Balloon Fest? How do we look at the entire Emory Adams Park District and how area and how they all kind of fit together?
So, as we mentioned, the playground as it currently exists has been around for nearly 25 years now. Will this be constructed in a way that we're not doing, tearing this down in 25 years and having to rebuild? Or is that, just the reality?
So I don't think that we'll have to do a full rebuild. Certainly our goal is that it is long-term sustainable and then you're able to kind of replace pieces. The equipment today is much stronger. It's able to be weatherized better. Typically steel structures or metal structures that are powder coated. So you definitely are going to have maintenance as we do with all of our other parks.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is going to be easier to replace pieces and it not be as noticeable. And
is that kind of built into the plans as well, knowing that there will be, some of this maintenance that we have seen with the current structure is probably going to be an issue with any new structure? I mean, was that part of the design as well?
Yeah, so we definitely are keeping that in mind because our public works team that is out there doing a great job maintaining it provides us feedback on how do we make sure that we're able to do as much work in-house as possible to maintain it? And anytime we're looking at projects, we recognize, you're going to have pretty minimal investment the first 5 years, and then you're going to have routine maintenance long-term that we take very seriously and want to make sure that we do get it the longest life. And when you look at amenities around our town, the majority of them do have a little bit of love and wear and tear, but overall are well-maintained, and that's what we want to continue to do.
So you do have a formal process for people to share their feedback on this, and as we mentioned, everybody has been, making their thoughts known via social media, which I'm sure that you pay attention to a certain degree, but you do have a way for people to share their feedback online.
Correct. We have released a survey and it's, pretty basic questions really helping it. When you say a playground area, there's kind of a finite number of options that we have, but wanting to make sure that we prioritize and put emphasis in the right areas, and we'll continue to, as we refine it, come back to the public to say, which of these designs do you like a little bit better? But yes, on the City of Findlay website, findlayohio.gov, scrolling on our homepage, there's a kind of just a couple less than 10 question survey where you can help us prioritize, provide us recommendations on things you want to see, things you don't want to see. And certainly we'll be sharing more information as we move forward.
And what is the timeline for this as it exists now, recognizing that, things can change? But what is the goal here in terms of timeline?
Yeah, I believe our plan is to start construction early next spring. We'll keep the existing playground active while we're doing construction, which will be great. It will really matter kind of lead time on the different components that we get. And we do plan to engage the public and do a bit of a community build again on this playground as well. And again, we know it's sad to see something that we've all loved and cherished over years, but unfortunately, that's just what happens.
We have a link on our webpage for more information about the Fort Finley Playground reimagination, if you will, and link to that survey. You can go to goodmornings.net and check that out for more information. Real quickly, before we let you go here, the last time you were with us, we talked about the proposed moratorium on marijuana dispensaries in the city of Finley. And since that conversation, City Council has implemented that moratorium. And folks will recall, we talked about this as sort of a preemptive measure, a stopgap measure to kind of pump the brakes on this until more was known. So is there a timeline for gathering more information about, I'm assuming that you'd be looking at the rollout in other nearby cities and how it's handled?
Yeah, so the moratorium is just to give us more time. Mm-hmm. Additionally, it doesn't restrict personal use. It just restricts the new dispensary setting up and cultivation. When we look at how we're going to roll this out, I'm hoping that here in the next month or two, we're going to have a little more guidance from the state, which is what we've kind of been waiting on.
Okay.
On what restrictions we can put in place, what the tax revenue at the local level, what we may be able to get from that. And then we will be looking probably in the next 2 months, starting the conversation with our planning and zoning committee on what zoning regulations, if we determine to move forward with allowing dispensaries, we want to have in place. Zoning regulations, you have at least a 3-month period through the legislative process because of the wait periods that are required, as well as public hearings. So we're looking at a minimum a 6-month process.
Okay. So, but there is a process to continue to look at this. It's not, we're going to put this moratorium and then we're going to forget about it.
Correct.
It's going to become a de facto law. There is a plan to continue to examine this.
Correct. The administration, myself, regional planning are gathering information right now and expect that probably not this month, but probably in September or October to go to planning and zoning to initiate the conversation on potential recommendations.
We'll continue to watch that story. And it should be pointed out, as we did note just before the first licenses were issued, that there have not been any applications for dispensaries in Hancock County.
Correct. So, we have had a number of people reach out to the city of Finley.
So there have been inquiries.
There have definitely been lots of inquiries.
No formal applications to the state.
Correct, because the city would have to sign off on that. And because currently under our zoning code, they're not permitted. We've told them, listen, right now, you don't
But nobody's have to. Even tried at this point. To,
correct, at the state level that I'm aware of.
Go to the state. Okay. Again, something we'll continue to watch, but just a quick update there. Again, Finley Mayor Christina Mern, thanks very much for dropping
by.
Thanks,
Chris. Great to see you.
Okay, now I think we have our technical issues sorted out here. Michael Strong is on the line with us from the Ritz Theater in Tiffin. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am,
now
Chris.
Now we've got you. Now we're here. All right. Just a little Monday gremlins going on with our telephone system here, so I apologize for that. But good to talk to you, because this is a big day at the Ritz Theater. Single event ticket sales for the upcoming season go on sale today, correct?
That's right, 10 a.m.
And so let's talk a little bit about, remind folks some of the great shows that you have coming up in the upcoming season here.
Well, it all depends what you're a fan of, Chris. If you're a fan of country music, we've got one of the top acts out there right now. Superstar Josh Turner will be here on February 28th. If you're a fan of Blue Eyed Soul, Righteous Brothers will be here October 26th. Rock and roll, we've got Asia coming featuring John Payne. And we've got a tribute to the Jay Giles Band coming in on March 15th, Whammer Jammer.
Yeah.
If Southern Rock is more your style, we've got Molly Hatchet coming in and a Leonard Skinner tribute on February 1st. One I'm looking forward to is Yacht Rock the Dock, which features Ambrosia, John Ford Coley, and Peter Beckett.
Wow.
And that pulls in on April 26th. We've got a lot of stuff. We've got something for everybody this year.
Absolutely. And as we talked about when you introduced the schedule, there are some familiar shows that are returning. For example, I'm thinking immediately of the Nobodies of Comedy, which it seems like you have back every year.
We have the Nobody's Comedy every year. It's been getting more and more successful. We sold out last year, and I think the audience that was here would agree that last year was probably our best year ever.
And also, you've got a performance of the Nutcracker by the Chicago Festival Ballet coming in December.
Yes, we have them back every 3 or 4 years. We don't like to get it tired. The Chicago Festival Ballet does a beautiful job with the ballet, and then they've customized it to fit on our stage, which if you've been to the theater, you know our stage is a little bit on the small side, but the production is not lacking at all.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful production.
One of the things about the Ritz, and you mentioned the small stage, the entire venue is small, but that makes it very intimate and makes it a great place to see a show.
You know, considering we have 1,260 seats, it is an intimate venue.
Yeah.
It's a great place to see a show. There's not a, and I know everybody says this about their venue, there's not a bad seat in the house, Chris.
Mm, yeah.
There really isn't.
And so the single event ticket sales begin today. How do folks purchase tickets?
Well, there's already a line outside of the box office. You can come on down and get in the queue. You can give us a call starting at 10 o'clock at 419-448-8544, or check us out online at ritztheater.org.
And now that's having said the fact that single event tickets go on sale, you can still buy multiple tickets, and you do have plans available that make it even more affordable to see multiple shows.
Absolutely. You can get everything from our Everything series, which is just that. It's a ticket to everything we have on the docket, all the way through our Flex series, which is you can craft your own series by picking three or more shows that you want to see and get 10% off the tickets.
And again, you can purchase those tickets online or in person or over the phone as well.
Sure can.
So again, the season begins. What the first show is?
The first show is a Ritz Players production.
Okay,
a very funny show called "The Play That Goes Wrong," and then the first main stage show will be in October 26th, and that will be the Righteous Brothers.
And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned the Ritz Players. It's not just the big main stage shows, the big immediately recognizable names that are coming, and you have several of those. But the theater is always busy with local entertainment and other events as well.
The Ritz Players is the award-winning community theater that we've got here. They've been going for 40 years. They're doing four productions next year. The Play That Goes Wrong in October, Cabaret in February, which I'm looking forward to, Harmony Romances, which is written by a local playwright out of Old Fort, and Anastasia the Musical in July.
So there are lots of things happening at the Ritz Theater. If you have not been or you've not been recently, certainly worth checking out the entire lineup of shows coming in the next season. And like we mentioned, the single event ticket sales start today at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
And we've got a link for more information at our webpage, goodmornings.net. You can check it out there. Once again, Director Michael Strong with us this morning. Michael, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
Chris, thanks for having me on.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
You know, we have had, over the years, in the broken news, some very unusual things that have been spilled on highways across the United States. Things that have, caused traffic problems because they've been dumped on the highways due to accidents, etc., etc. This may be one of the most unusual and perhaps the most disgusting. Idaho State Police are investigating a bizarre collision that took place on Friday on Interstate 84. One semi-truck loaded with 48,000 pounds of molasses collided with another semi-truck loaded with manure. let's see here. 1,000 pounds of the molasses spilled. It doesn't say how much manure spilled and mixed with that molasses, but I would imagine that was a very unpleasant cleanup. The driver and passenger of the truck carrying the manure were transported to a local hospital. They're going to be okay, right? They're not. I mean, we're not. I don't believe that they are. Life-threatening injuries, but the incident is still under investigation. But molasses and manure. If you could pick a combination of things to spill on the interstate highway, that would be right up there at the top of the list of the things you would not want to have to clean up. You know? No, thank you. How would you like to get that call? Bill, we need you to grab a shovel. We've got a spill of molasses and manure on the highway. We're going to put you in charge of cleaning that up. Bill would be radioing back, I'm sorry, I quit. I'm quitting my job, effective immediately. Elsewhere in the broken news, a former Chicago area school food service director is in trouble with the law. Vera Liddell will spend the next 9 years behind bars after pleading guilty to stealing, get this, $1.5 million worth of chicken wings over the course of 2 years. $1.5 million of chicken wings. Local news reports in Chicago say Ms. Liddell began placing chicken wing orders with a supplier in July of 2020 during the COVID pandemic. She was caught when an audit last year showed food services $300,000 over budget just midway through the school year, and the chicken wing purchases were discovered. The illicit chicken wing purchases were discovered. Chicken wings reportedly are not served at schools because they contain very small bones. Could be a choking hazard, which makes sense. So, but how did this go on for so long and nobody questioned it? $1.5 million worth of chicken wings. And what was she doing with the chicken wings? I can imagine, you know, her kids at home. What, we're having chicken wings again for dinner? What is, you know, at some point, I can't believe that it took that long for someone to be suspicious. Details were the full details not available. Chicken wings, according to the court record, total chicken wings stolen amounted to 11,000 cases. 11,000 cases of chicken wings. I just don't know how you hide something like that, how you don't get caught. For 3 years. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, from the international file, speaking of, you know, unusual things that should have probably been caught earlier, a man is facing charges for allegedly trying to ship over a ton of meth to Australia. A ton! 2,000 pounds! If you're going to send 2,000 pounds of drugs and ship them, chances are good that's going to raise some red flags. Authorities announced on Friday resident Jing Tang Li was in custody following a lengthy investigation. They say he had the shipments falsely labeled as other items and listed fake shipping companies in an effort to get the drugs across the ocean. He is charged with distribution of and attempting to distribute methamphetamine as well as exportation of a controlled substance. He could face anywhere between 10 years and life in prison. I'll ship a ton of meth to Australia. Nobody will be the wiser. It's going to raise some red flags, I would think. Couple of other items here among the first things in the broken news report for today. Odd and unusual side of the headlines. Speaking of the international file, and this sounds like it would be out of Australia, but no, it's in Prague, the Czech Republic. Used to be Czechoslovakia. Police are looking for a kangaroo who escaped from a prison near Prague. A kangaroo that escaped from prison. First of all, so many questions. What was a kangaroo doing in jail? Well, apparently the animals, actually, there were two kangaroos that initially escaped. Two kangaroos. They were in cahoots with each other, but one apparently returned to the jail on its own. Apparently, the animals are among many animals, including kangaroos, llamas, roosters, rabbits, and more, that are part of a prison program there that allows inmates to develop farming skills. So that's the reason why there are kangaroos in prison to begin with, and part of a jail rehab program. But apparently these kangaroos had decided that they had had enough time in lockup, and they escaped, just like if a human was to escape. Jail officials are saying the public should not approach the kangaroo and contact authorities if spotted. Because they want to round up the kangaroo and get it back in jail. It's not done its full time yet, apparently. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is actually really cool. Really cool story in the definitely odd, but really cool. A woman in Tampa Bay made an interesting discovery while she was cleaning up after Hurricane Debbie, and the hurricane that made landfall in Florida last week. Suzanne Flement Smith told local news reporters that she was cleaning up the beach of debris and came across a bottle on the beach, noticed that it had a message inside. Yes, that's right. The hurricane had washed the bottle, the message in a bottle, ashore. She removed the letter from inside the bottle and discovered that it was dated March 4th, 1945. 1945 had been written on U.S. Navy letterhead from the amphibious training base in Little Creek, Virginia. Doesn't say here in this report, you know, what the letter said, but that's where they traced it back to, the amphibious training base in Little Creek, Virginia, and made it to the Gulf of Mexico and was blown ashore by Hurricane Debbie. Isn't that cool? That is really awesome. There you go. I wonder if they were able to track down the person who wrote it or if that person is even still around anymore. But that is really, really cool. There you go. That is some of the broken news. Today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Get ready for another season of Ohio State football with the Kickoff Show on WFIN. Paul Keels, Jim Lachey, and others will preview the upcoming season, offering analysis along with players and coaches' interviews.
The Kickoff Show, presented by Citizens National Bank, Macomb VFW, and Buffalo Trading Company.
The Kickoff Show, Monday, August 19th at 6 p.m. on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. We often lament the fact that kids are just not as active anymore as they used to be. They spend so much time sitting in front of their screens, right? Well, believe it or not, according to a new survey out of the UK, 40% of kids say that they want to be more physically active than they actually are. Only 26% said that they prefer to be in front of a screen. They want to be more active than they actually are. So what keeps them from being more active than they are? Well, some really key insights. The survey finds that youngsters enjoy getting out and getting exercise, physical activity, more when they are doing it with their friends, when the coach or the teacher is friendly and supportive, and when the activity is not too serious. And those, I think, are really key because all too often we think that everything has to be so structured. And so, you know, we take our kids' sports, for example, so doggone serious as parents, as adults. And the kids don't want that. They're saying in the survey, they just want to go out and be kids. So maybe something to keep in mind next time that you think you're doing something good for your kids by getting them active, just let them just go out, and play and be themselves. Hancock County OSU Extension educator Jennifer Little is with us in the studio this morning. We were just talking before we started here about how it doesn't seem like we should be at the end of summer already, that we should be talking about back to school and Friday night football is going to start here before too long and all of that. The fair is right around the corner, and I know it's all hands on deck getting ready for the Hancock County Fair at this point, right?
Yes, yes. We've got lots of things planned in the youth building, in the Grange building. In fact, later this morning, I'm going out to the Grange building. We're already going to be doing some cleaning and some moving things around to get things set up, ready for fair. And it's always an exciting time.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things, the preparations for things at the fair. Obviously, the 4-H kids going to start here before too long, getting their booths together and all of that. And I know that you're working on logistics, in the 4-H program, coordinating all of that. And as you mentioned, starting to prepare for everything to be going on in the Grange building. You've got a lot of stuff that you actually have planned for the fair.
Yeah, well, yes. And the last couple of years since I've been back and been a part of Extension here, we've really tried to do some family-friendly events, free things, activities for families with kids, getting them in the youth building. It's for, the youth. We have things that are not just for kids in 4-H. We want to introduce kids to all of the that 4-H has to offer. We do in-school programming. We do STEM stuff. Many people associate the fair with the animals and the animal shows, but there is so much more that 4-H is, and trying just to introduce kids to some of these things. So we've got, in the youth building, we work together, 4-H and myself. We have Exploring the 4-H's, which is going to happen every afternoon at 1 o'clock in the youth building. And they're going to be doing a lot of things. When we think about the 4-H, it's hard. Heart, health, hands, and head.
I always have to stop and think about it. I'm counting it on my fingers.
This is why I am not the 4-H educator. Yes. But something really cool that we have going on is the STEM bus. So on the state level, there is a STEM bus that travels around the state of Ohio. Right. And we have some of our state specialists that come and do activities, robotic type of things, lots of creative things with technology. And so that is going to be there on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. It'll be parked right in front of the youth building, and it's going to be encouraging kids of all ages, parents, families to come through.
Remember last year, had it for a very brief amount of time. It's actually going to be more of an opportunity this year to
check that out. All day. We're excited about that. And then in the mornings, I do a program called Family Fun with FCS, so Family and Consumer Sciences. Mm-hmm. People think about home ec as being cooking and cleaning or whatever, but there's actually, in Family and Consumer Sciences, like, I think there's the three healthies. We have healthy people, which is physical health, mental health. We have healthy finances, which of course is, making sure that we all know how to take care of our money and our resources. Mm-hmm. And then healthy relationships, which is parenting, child development, some of those mental health, emotional health kinds of things. So it's exciting. We are going to be doing the very first day on Tuesday at 11 a.m. We're going to be doing make and take market bags. So kids are going to come, be able to make their own reusable market bag. They can put all of their fun stuff that they get at the merchant's building in their bag.
Right.
We did this at the farmer's market at the beginning of the season, and the kids loved it. And they still bring their little bags back to the farmer's market to buy their produce, which is a really good time. And then on Wednesday, Wednesday is when the STEM bus is going to be there, not Tuesday. Wednesday is when the STEM bus will be there, but then also we're going to be doing My Plate Bingo, so a little fun activity. Kids love bingo. Mm-hmm. Come in and enjoy learning about healthy foods and playing some bingo. And then on Thursday at 11 o'clock, we'll be doing Family Fun Brain Games. So that mental health, intellectual health.
Moving.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So some fun brain games. And then Friday, kind of like Financial Friday. So in the Grange building on Friday, I'll have Amy from the Ohio Consumers Council there with me in the afternoon. And then in the morning, we're going to be doing some financial fun activities, spin the wheel sorts of things with kids in the youth building. And then Saturday is the Junior Fair Coloring Contest in the youth building. And that's just a big thing that the Junior Fair puts on. It's very, very popular with the kids.
Yeah.
Think about that creativity. That's part of our, you know, overall health and well-being, that getting that creative juices flowing for the kids. That's also important for back to school. And then in the we're having a bigger program exploring the 4-H's that day. We're going to talk about a little bit about farm to fork and the life of a dairy cow and how we get that milk into wonderful products like cheese and ice cream and milk that we like to drink. Okay. So that's going to be fun. We're going to have a little cow there and kids get some, you know, hands-on without having to touch the actual fur of a cow activities. So that'll be at 1 o'clock on Saturday in the youth building.
Very good. A lot of programs going on throughout the fair in the youth building to check out. So again, and it's open to all, not just for the 4-H kids.
Right,
it's for
right,
everybody.
Right. Yes, yes. Because and you know, of course, check out some of the 4-H projects. The also the ag FFA projects are all there in the youth building. So fun to celebrate all of the amazing things that kids do and just seeing all that's possible.
All the amazing youth that we have in the community. Goodness. Now, looking a little bit beyond the fair, also want to mention this, and you know, we'll talk more about it when we get a little bit closer, but you have a program coming up in the month of September, and this is perfect because, you know, kids heading back to school and schedules start to get really, really busy. Talking about Winning at Wellness is the title of this. So give us kind of a preview here.
Yes. Amber Wolfram from Family Resource Center and myself are going to be doing a series in the library. It's actually going to be September and October.
Okay.
It starts September 4th and it will end October 30th. And it's Winning at Wellness. We kind of played a little bit on the Olympic theme there. But just talking about the dimensions of wellness. You know, we think of our bodies as being physical, muscle, heart, blood, but there is so much more to our health than just that physical aspect of our health. We're certainly going to, it's a 9-week program and we're going to explore the 8 dimensions of wellness, which include our physical wellness, our emotional wellness, environmental wellness, which is not just saving the world. It's also, what do we surround ourselves with? What's our physical environment look like? I notice here in your office, you've got pictures on the wall. You've got some things that just kind of brighten your day, kind of make you think positive things. Also, we're going to talk about, again, the nutrition. We're going to talk about intellectual wellness. So how do we keep our brains sharp? How do we kind of stave off some of the mental decline that sometimes can come in an older age? Cultural, spiritual wellness, financial, occupational wellness. So we always, you know, we spend the majority of our day at work, many of us. And how do we make that a well space for us? How do we make that something that impacts our lives in a positive way, not just something that takes from our lives and drains us? And then, of course, social wellness. You know, during the pandemic, you know, we had kids at home getting one-on-one attention from their parents and one-on-one, you know, education. But they, you know, we found that kids didn't learn as well because they didn't have that social aspect.
And we discovered just how much we need that social interaction, too. That was a big wake-up call. I think maybe that was the biggest takeaway from the pandemic, is just how social we are and need to be.
Yeah. And just thinking, I saw an interview with Simone Biles during the Olympics, and here is a person at top physical health and performance, world-class athlete, but she was talking, made the comment that during the Olympics, she had several sessions with her therapist. So that mental, emotional health.
Even those at the top of their
game. Yeah, yes.
And other areas.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are complex beings. We are more than just, you know, our what makes up us up physically. We have, you know, and when we think about our bodies and stress is one of those things that can be very emotional and it can affect us physically. So it's all interrelated. So exploring those,
all of these things can affect our physical health as well. So this is a really important, big, big program. You said 9 weeks. I mean, it's throughout the month of September and into October as well. So like I said, we'll talk more about that when we get a little bit closer. But Winning at Wellness is coming up beginning in September. So
and
definitely.
It's going to be at the library, and it'll be on Wednesdays from 5 to 6. And there's information on the library website. We'll have information on our website. You've got your flyer on your website.
More information at goodmornings.net if you want to learn more about what's happening at the fair, Winning at Wellness program. Again, Jennifer Little, the Hancock County OSU Extension, with us this morning. Jennifer, thanks very much for the update. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Chris. You have a great day.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program. Of course, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, which is goodmornings.net. We are always on 24/7 on the World Wide Web. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Again, goodmornings.net is our little corner of the World Wide Web. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.